This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. We're going to do a special issue today, episode today, that's a mix of the Becker's Healthcare Podcast and the Becker Private Equity Podcast. We're featuring today Kristen McDermott Woodrum. And Kristen's a partner at McGuire Woods, lives in the healthcare world, but also does some work with private equity funded firms and so forth, but is in the healthcare department and a brilliant partner. Kristen, take a moment and tell us what issues you're watching closely currently.
Thank you, Scott. I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to chat with you again today. I recently heard you speak on key advice for board members of private equity and venture funded firms. And I really thought you had great tips in that conversation. Definitely translate to any type of PE or venture backed business. I think you started high level with trust, encourage, and verify. And I've been thinking about how that translates into healthcare. Something I focus a lot of my energy on is advising board members and leadership of private equity and venture-backed healthcare companies. This is an area that's getting a lot of attention. And so I've been watching the evolving expectations and potential liabilities for these leaders.
Thank you. And what do you see out there? One of the challenges of being a board member is it's all fine when you're getting your stipend, you've got your stock, your equity vesting, or in the course of a hospital board member, you've got your board seat, you get prestige in the community, you may not be a charitable donor, you may not have separate business interests, hopefully you're a great board member, and it's all sort of fine, but there's a difference between being a regular board member and being a great board member. And there's also the challenge of being a board member when things go poorly or when you can't quite figure out what the company's doing. Talk to us about those situations. How does that look as a board member? And what advice do you give to board members to be a great board member or when things go poorly?
Yeah, no, great points, Scott. And as you know, healthcare is just a completely different animal. So board members need to understand that business strategies and practices that may be sound in any other industry can violate any number of healthcare laws, which is challenging. And you want to be a great board member by, understanding sort of that landscape to protect the business and to protect yourself from potential liability and to prevent those situations where things go bad. And of course, it's a balance. Compliance is not the first priority for a growing business. I heard some business advice that was attributed to Reid Hoffman, who founded LinkedIn, and it was about scaling organizations. And he basically said, if you move quickly, there will be mistakes and footfalls. That's just part of it. But in healthcare, the leaders need education on the general rules of healthcare to make sure there are not more serious problems. And we want to avoid the investment of a lot of resources into a business model that just has fundamental compliance programs, because that poses not only legal, but business risk. So often if it doesn't feel right, there may be a problem. And so that's sort of the focus area for me in these conversations with board members and legal leaders.
Kristen, I think your point is well taken. There's a big difference between sort of business having some minor challenges, minor compliance problems, versus a business that's built fundamentally with a problematic premise. So for example, we've seen businesses over the years, sometimes in the lab business, where the fundamental premise is we're gonna bring in physicians as owners, which isn't really permitted under Stark, but they're gonna do it in different ways and find ways to compensate physicians for referrals to lab businesses. We've also seen situations with pain management practices where there's just such an excessive amount of procedures done that you get concerned, is there something fundamentally wrong? And you see this in different places. And part of, I guess, the board member's role is to both ask questions and to have good antenna for are things fundamentally okay or not? Is there fundamental compliance purposes or not? Is the legal counsel, the founder's legal counsel, and, so bought into, it's such an important client to the legal counsel that they can't give clear advice, or they just say yes to the founder where things seem fundamentally wrong. And as a board member, I guess great concern in asking the right questions, deciding whether you should be on that board or not. Even if there's potential financial riches, you probably shouldn't be on a board if you feel the financial model or the core business is fundamentally wrong. What other thoughts do you have for sort of board members or advisors in those situations when you're trying to assess does the business have some footfalls, as you'd say, or as Reid Hoffman would say, or is it fundamentally problematic? What are the thoughts you have for advisors and how to address it, or board members and how to address that?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say first, you know, proceed with caution. That doesn't mean, you know, don't be excited and support and encourage the business, but definitely be cautious and make sure there's a baseline understanding of the healthcare regulatory framework and the key legal risks, because what is permissible in many industries crosses the line in healthcare. And without getting too deep, as you know, the key legal risks include fraud and abuse risks. If there's any government reimbursement, you're going to be subject to the federal anti-kickback statute. And additionally, if physicians are involved, there can be strict liability under the Stark statute, which, you know, basically under these fraud and abuse laws, it's illegal to offer or pay, solicit or receive anything of value to induce or reward referrals or business. And so you can get tripped up with this in marketing and other types of arrangements with referral sources or customers. And if you violate these laws, it can trigger liability under the False Claims Act. So not only will the government enforce it, but you can open yourself up for KCHAM suits by relators, oftentimes, you know, disgruntled employers who have some knowledge of something that's going on that has not been fixed. And even where they're not federal payers, states have many versions of these laws that can apply broadly across all payers and all services. And then there are a lot of other laws. I mean, it's ridiculous how many laws we have to cover, but corporate practice of medicine is a big one. In a lot of states where you're providing services of a physician or another licensed professional, you have to make sure that the business is not structured, you know, organizationally or in practice in a way that the non-licensed individuals have control over medical decision making. And, you know, it's a very nuanced review of sort of everyday practices. And it's easy to screw that up. But if you get the sense that you're focusing more on profits than on patients, you know, that's sort of that area. And then billing, you know, making proper medical determinations about patients, so that the clinicians can ensure that quality patient care is being performed versus steering patients towards particular products or services that you're trying to sell. So those are sort of the, you know, key risk areas. Are a lot more. obviously, we do a lot of trainings on these, but, you know, another focus would be making sure board members know their role. So directors and funds, they want to avoid direct involvement in the day-to-day operations. They need to know the landscape, but they need to stay out of the day-to-day business. And then definitely not take any part in claims submission or some of those processes that can trigger False Claims Act liability. Note that where there's significant overlapping leadership between the PE firm and the board and the leadership of the portfolio company, you can increase your risk. Again, the focus is on taking an active role where those individuals would be charged with knowledge or even causing illegal conduct. But if there is knowledge of a problem, then it is essential to follow up. Sometimes knowledge of a problem can come up in diligence initially. So if through due diligence in investing or acquiring a business, you see a problem, it's important to post-closing sort of rectify it, pay attention to it, especially if you're getting a price concession or other break from the seller based on an identified problem area. And then it can come up, you know, just be reported from the company, from the CEO or someone else within that organization. And again, keep in mind the risk of the KCHAM relators who have financial incentives to, you know, blow the whistle or to file a suit alleging wrongdoing. You know, instituting a compliance program and culture is important. Again, it's probably not the first objective of someone who's excited to start a new business, but it does protect that business. And we don't want to completely cool the jets of our business development leads and the others who are driving the company's growth, but we also don't want them to combust. And, you know, this is across the board. Keeping in mind that incentives and compensation to these individuals or other marketers or employees or contractors, you know, incentive compensation should not reward growth and profit over compliance and patient care. that sort of is a bad fact and a bad look when you're on the defensive posture. And then, you know, I caution and tell clients all the time that compliance is not one size fits all. You're not expected to immediately have a hospital size compliance program as a startup, but you need to scale it based on the size and the operations of your company. And then start with a review or an audit, just figure out what your risk areas are. You know, again, often it's in marketing, compensation relationships. It can also arise in staffing. You know, are we providing adequate clinical support? And then related operational issues. And then I would say continuing to finance bad conduct is a big risk. So if you know that there's a problem and you're continuing to invest in the company, that enhances that risk. Again, it can be to the company and to the individuals. And there have been a number of high-profile enforcement actions lately that I think highlight these risks.
But the point being, you've made several important points there. One of the points is, it's once you know about a problem, whether it's in due diligence, whether it's a hospital acquiring a practice or a company or a private equity fund acquiring a company or acquiring a bolt-on. Once you know of a problem, you got to figure out how to fix that problem or address that problem or make a legal assessment as to whether it's a serious problem or not. Second is, most of these situations, particularly private equity funds, are going to have overlapping ownership with their board, and typically the private equity fund is going to control the board. There's been cases of exposure of the private equity fund where something bad has happened at the operating company where the private equity fund was deemed to be involved in that, clearly involved in it or signed off on it or as part of their plan. It might be giving options to investors that could refer. It could be other kinds of situations. But you have to sort of have this clarity of what is the compliance posture? What are we trying to do? And you need board members, independent board members, that are strong enough to stand up to sort of sometimes the hard-driving private equity board members who really aren't that sensitive to the compliance risks or might not be. And it's this fine line as an independent board member is sort of you know, not putting a stop to everything that is legitimate business, but having a great eye for what's legitimate, what's not, and staying close to it. But I think a lot of great points, Kristen. You know, in this role of the board member in the private equity-funded firm, or in the hospital board, or really any kind of venture, and their sort of understanding of compliance risks, understanding of where they fit and how important they can be, and also just how to approach that position of working through it. And how do you get answers? How do you make things that are clear? How do you make sure that you feel like you're involved in what's truly a legitimate, appropriate business? Kristen, I want to thank you for joining us today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. We'll also post this on the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. What a pleasure to visit with, again, Kristen McDermott Woodrum, a brilliant partner, lawyer, McGuire Woods, who's in the healthcare world, but also advises business entities in healthcare. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Scott. Always a pleasure.